Blog Talk Radio.
Write the book. Yeah, when your dreamboat turns out to be a footnote, how many of us have been there? And the former dreamboat of the left, who has now turned himself into a footnote, Barack Hussein Obama, took another butt whooping today. And he whined and he complained like the punk that he is. How ingracious. This is the President of the United States of America whining, crying, complaining, blaming. You know what I blame it on? The fact that he didn't grow up with a daddy in the household. You know, a lot of men's failings, especially black men. Yeah, there, I said it. It's out there. A lot of our failings can be attributed to the lack of a strong male role model in the household. Now, your lovable host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, well, my father was there every single day. He lived in the house with my mother. He was married to my mom for more than 40 years. So I'm grounded. I'm stable. Now, but some of us, less fortunate folk, like Barack Hussein Obama, well, his daddy was off somewhere doing his own thing. There are probably like 7 or 8 more Barack Obamas scattered across the globe because daddy wasn't there. Daddy wasn't there. So Obama grew up pretty much a narcissist, believing in his own self-importance, and just, you know, being a jerk. Because daddy wasn't there. Mm-mm. To take him to the fair. To change his underwear. Daddy wasn't there. And when you don't have a daddy in the household, you got problems. You're like a ship. A rudderless ship. Floating on out there. And that's what we have here today. It was gratifying, and it was also very sad to witness the travesty that is Barack Obama's presidency, where he took the time to hold yet another press conference to talk about the same thing that he talked about the previous day, to try to get his base all 20% of the American public off of his back, because he's being called a wimp, a sissy, a pushover, and all kinds of things. Not by Republicans, but by Democrats, but by the liberal left, but the his base. And I'm almost starting to feel sorry for him. No, almost. I'm not quite there yet. When he takes a serious butt whooping in 2012, then I'll be very happy. But I'll feel sorry for him. He's an amateur. You know, this is what happens when the American public believes so much in hope and change that they elect a guy who spent barely 2 years in the Senate and was a, quote, community organizer, end quote, with no executive experience, never owned his own business, never really held public office for very long, just a novice. I mean, he's not even a Bill Clinton, for Christ's sake. Even Bill Clinton was governor twice. He's a very thin-skinned neophyte. And what is going on with this guy when it comes to religion? Yet again, this time not on American soil, has he purposely omitted our Creator from one of his speeches? Or God? Is it in diversity we trust? He has botched our national motto. So a convenient talking point became the latest source of political fodder for President Barack Obama. This is on the website The Blaze, Glenn Beck's website. A convenient talking point became the latest source of political fodder for President Barack Obama's antagonist on Capitol Hill Monday. Members of Congress on Monday called on President Obama to issue a public correction after he incorrectly identified E Pluribus Unum as the official model of the United States, supplanting the country's real motto, In God We Trust. The verbal gaffe happened in November as President Obama spoke at the University of Indonesia. In trying to spell out some similarities between the two countries, Obama compared national mottos. He said, in the United States, our motto is E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. He said then, he then compared it to Indonesia's motto, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, unity in diversity. What's up with this guy? Do we need any more proof that the President of the United States is virtually godless, such to the extent that he won't even mention God, our Creator, in a sentence, in a speech? Or perhaps is it his wish that we become a godless nation? Take a listen to this clip.
It is a story written into our national mottos. In the United States, our motto is E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, unity in diversity. We are two nations which have traveled different paths. Yet our nations show...
Okay, all right. I'm about to puke. Our motto is, In God We Trust. It is the official motto of the United States, and it was established by law in 1956. So why is this clown traveling halfway across the world on my dime, and yours if you pay taxes, and misquoting our country's motto? Is this guy godless or what? Is he afraid to utter the word God? I mean, I haven't really seriously embraced this whole idea that Barack Obama is the Antichrist right up until today. Because in my opinion, either he is an atheist or he believes he's God, and so why even mention God? The real God. So which is it? Is he an atheist? Because not only once, and not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, Barack Obama has completely failed to mention or omitted our Creator or God. In several speeches he's given where he's quoted the Constitution, he has completely omitted the words, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. He's omitted that three times. Waited for the teleprompter to scale up or whatever it does, so that those words were gone, and then finished off the rest of the sentence. So I have a theory that Barack Obama is an atheist, and don't forget to the time when he was on the campaign trail, and he stated that many Midwesterners are angry and upset at their predicament, such that they hang on to their religion and guns. What religion would that be? A lot of people asked. It sounds to me like he doesn't have a religion. So either Barack Obama is an atheist, or he's a Muslim. But here's my take. The nonsense about President Obama being a Muslim, well, it really should stop, and here's the reason. Leave aside Obama's fanatical opposition to allowing Illinois hospitals to save the lives of babies with God-given souls, inadvertently born alive during abortions. He voted against that. He voted against, or rather for, partial birth abortions, where little babies who are aborted but still alive are then murdered, killed. They're not saved once they come out of the womb alive. They're not taken to a nursery and cared for and nursed to health, and then perhaps someone comes along and adopts them. No, they're murdered. And he voted for that measure. And, you know, don't take my word for it. Look it up. But that being that aside for now, the fact that neither of his parents were Christians, and also leave aside his current crop of spiritual advisors, quote, spiritual advisors, end quote. Well, spiritual advisors, quote, end quote, yeah. Which is a collection of Mother Earth worshipers, polytheist, and just your average, everyday non-believer. The only evidence for Barack Obama's Christianity is that he faithfully attended the Reverend Jeremiah Wright's Trinity United Church of Christ for 20 years, which I attended for 3 Sundays back in high school when it was a really small, average-sized church. Now, Trinity Church has grown into this huge mega church which spans nearly 2 city blocks with the parking lot included. Well, it is a fact. Oh, wait. Now, let me remind you. Jeremiah Wright is the pastor who said, "God damn America." He's the one vouching for Obama's Christianity. That's like saying you got sober with the help of your AA sponsor, who just happens to be Lindsay Lohan or somebody like that. It is a fact that any non-retarded person, well, Rahm Emanuel, sitting in the Reverend Wright's church for 20 minutes, much less 20 years, does not believe in God. Even stepping inside Reverend Wright's church, which I did when he was pastor, for a moment to get out of the rain, stepping inside the church even for a moment to get out of the rain is borderline racist. Going to Trinity United Church of Christ is even stronger evidence of non-belief than Bill Clinton returning from Sunday service to receive oral sex, a blowjob, from Monica Lewinsky. This isn't just a sin. Everybody sins, though some with more frequency and less remorse than others. Attending Wright's church is a conscious, calculated decision to immerse yourself in hate-filled demagoguery and then call it Christianity. But according to North Korean's TV, Chris Matthews, it is a proverbial scientific fact that Obama is a Christian simply because he says so. Everybody watching right now, Matthew said to his 7 or 8 viewers last week, gets credit for being of the religion you say you are. Let me say that again, because it sounds very confusing. Everybody watching right now, Matthew said, gets credit for being of the religion you say you are. We accept that in America. It's called freedom of religion and respect for religion. This is what Chris Matthews said. That would also make professions of religious belief, unlike all other self-professions, unchallengeable. Liberals say conservatives don't believe in civil rights. I say liberals are godless traitors. Why is one statement debatable and the other not? Doesn't anyone question the Christianity of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker? How about the Satanists claiming to be Christians who stand outside soldiers' funerals with signs that say, "God hates fags"? And for the record, the allegedly inviolent assertion of one's own religious belief wasn't so inviolent when it came to my main man, Ronald Reagan. Typical deal, God rest his soul, used to question President Reagan's Christianity all the time, taunting the president for not attending church regularly. Matthews might remember that. He was working for O'Neill at the time, flunky that he is. In fact, parading the church in front of the TV cameras carrying a 10-pound Bible, like a certain serial adulterer, impeached president that I could name but I won't, is strongly discouraged by the creator of the universe. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 6.1. Some conservatives have cited Obama's near complete refusal to go to church to suggest he's not the, quote, devout Christian, end quote, who prays every day, as the White House claims. But that's not your proof, Christians. Oh, no. It's Obama's church attendance back in Chicago that proves he's an atheist. This was inadvertently admitted by Obama's leading butt boy, Richard Wolff, on North Korean TV Monday night. Some of you call it MSNBC. Wolff acknowledged that Reverend Wright's liberation theology was not Christianity. But then, in the same breath, forcefully distinguished Obama from Reverend Wright, i.e. Obama's sole character witness for his alleged Christianity. And of my main man, Glenn Beck's denunciation of liberal theology as a false religion, Wolff said. Is he debating Jeremiah Wright or Barack Obama? They're two different people, he said. If he wants to debate liberation theology with Wright, he's got something to talk about. But liberation theology hasn't been anything espoused by this president. This is what Richard Wolff is quoted as saying. But it was espoused in the only church Obama ever attended regularly for 20 years. Now you tell me, if you sit in a church pew for 20 years and listen to one pastor preach every single Sunday, you tell me you don't agree with most of what he's saying? Because if you don't, why are you in that church? Shouldn't you attend a church where you wouldn't one think that one would attend a church where you believe and you support the pastor? Well, Barack Obama attended the same church for 20 years, faithfully attending every single Sunday that I know of. He was married in that church. His daughters were baptized in Reverend Wright's church. The title of Obama's autobiography came from the title of one of Wright's sermons. And bits from Wright's sermons have appeared in Obama's work. So, what? If Reverend Wright is not a Christian, then that means Obama is not a Christian. So Wolf basically told on himself and on Obama. So to recap, the sole evidence of Obama's supposed Christianity is Reverend Wright, who everyone admits is a racist kook, a nut, a loon. No sane human is required to take Obama's profession of Christianity any more seriously than if it were coming from a 1980s blow-dried, money-grubbing, Rolex-wearing, silk shiny suit televangelist with a mistress or two on the side. All liberals, in my opinion, are atheists. Only the ones who have to stand for election even bother pretending to believe in God. Not being acquainted with any actual Christians, they aren't particularly good at bluffing. That's why Democrats babble incoherently whenever the subject of religion comes up. Morons. Liberals acting devout always look like that love scene between Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis in Top Gun. It was painful to watch. It was like really awkward and unconvincing because, of course, Kelly McGillis, as we now know, is butch. Probably why it was so awkward looking. Now, former divinity student Al Gore famously botched many Bible verses, switching God's instructions that we put heaven before earthly things, from where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6:21, by saying we should make the earth our treasure. Tree-hugging moron. Doesn't he look evil? Now he's gotten really fat. He looks like an evil clown. But that aside, he botched that one. It took the Democrats' born-again Christian, Jimmy Carter, 3 decades to announce in 2005 that he didn't think Jesus would actually approve of abortion unless the mother's life or health was in danger, or perhaps the pregnancy was caused by rape or incest, etc., etc. There's only one true Christian liberal in the country. And that's my main man and yours, Mike Huckabee. And now, on to other things. Today, as in most days, Barack Obama has shown his true colors. He whined and complained and blamed everyone, took no responsibility, none, mind you. He blamed liberals and Republicans alike for the tax rates staying the same. So many folks, pundits across America, on television and in newsprint and on the radio are calling the current tax rates the Bush tax cuts and claiming that to hold firm the current tax rates means that we are giving tax breaks or cuts to the rich, to the wealthy. Since when has a person making over $250,000 or over, a rich person? If you're making $250,000, say you live in a household and you're married and your wife makes $156,000 and you make $154,000 or $156,000, let's just make it easy, and you file jointly, does that mean you're rich? Does that mean you're wealthy? Say you have four children and two are in college that you're paying for and one is on the way and the other is in high school. And you're paying for, does that make you a rich person? Because I keep hearing these liberals say that we're giving tax breaks to the top 1% of the richest Americans so that they can go out and buy their cars and boats and summer in the Hamptons and winter certain places. Now, the government isn't giving tax breaks to the richest 1% of Americans. I just want to go ahead and debunk that for anyone who might be listening. The money that you make, say I'm married. I get married and I make $200,000 and my new wife makes $60,000 and we've got a household together. We're not rich. Now, there are folks who are making $1 million or however much they're making, but we also must... We must understand that a lot of those people are business owners, small business owners, who employ other people. I myself employ other people. I have partners and then I have employees. I am a small business owner. I'm in business for myself. Am I rich? Well, no. Is the government giving me a break? No. What is occurring is that the government, if this deal is allowed to go through, is the government's not going to take as much of my money as they normally would. They're not giving me anything. I earn a living. The money is mine. And what the government is deciding in the coming days is not to take as much of my money as they normally would. They're not giving me anything. And I'm so sick of watching TV, turning on the radio, reading the newspaper, saying that the government is giving me something or allowing me to have something or I'm getting to keep something. It's my own money. It's your money. If you pay taxes, you're getting to keep your own money. And you know what? Even if you don't pay taxes, but the government takes money out of your paycheck every 2 weeks, well, a lot of you are going to get to keep an additional $300 to $400 every 2 weeks of your own money. whether you make $250,000 or not, depending on how much money that you make per year, you're going to keep a big chunk of your own money. The government isn't giving you anything. And for Barack Obama to go on TV today and basically whine like the bitch that he is, whine like a little girl and complain about the Republicans holding the middle class hostage so that they can give tax breaks to the rich is absurd. The guy is a liar, and he is starting to really piss me off. I can't believe some of you voted for this clown. And neither can seriously hot and fine Michelle Bachmann. My girl, wow. Take a listen.
Well, that's right, because I watched the president's press conference afterwards. He was highly partisan, bitter, angry. He made contradictory statements. He made odd statements. He said, for instance, and I wrote him down, quote, the Republicans want to end middle-class tax cuts. I thought, are you kidding me? The Republicans want to end middle-class tax cuts? He said that it's his job to grow the economy. He made one kind of odd statement after the other, and he said that Republicans oppose various credits for the middle class. Those are flat-out lies. And then he said that it is our holy grail to be able to stand for tax cuts for the wealthy. And so he is continually setting up what you first called Marxist economics. You were the first one to do that. And so he's going to continue. He's already laid out his game plan for the next 2 years. He's going to drive harder on this class warfare argument. And I think a lot of people are going to get really tired of him because he's supposed to represent all Americans, not be about punishing success. And that really does get tiring after a while to hear someone continually punish success.
You know, Barack Obama is, every single day that he holds the presidency of the United States, he is a Marxist. He is showing his true colors. He doesn't believe in the free enterprise system. He doesn't believe in America. He doesn't believe in what America stands for. He believes in just the opposite. And every single day he holds the office of the presidency, he proves that. It's absurd and baseless and bizarre. Listen to this next clip and tell me what you think.
Chuck Todd.
Mr. President, what do you say to Democrats who say you're rewarding Republican obstruction here? You yourself used in your opening statement they were unwilling to budge on this. A lot of progressive Democrats are saying they're unwilling to budge, and you're asking them to get off the fence and budge. Why should they be rewarding Republican obstruction?
Well, let me use a couple of analogies. I've said before that I felt that the middle class tax cuts were being held hostage to the high end tax cuts. I think it's tempting not to negotiate with hostage takers unless the hostage gets harmed. Then people will question the wisdom of that strategy. In this case, the hostage was the American people, and I was not willing to see them.
Okay. I'm almost about to vomit. I'm about to hurl right here on my desk. Mr. Obama, you are not allowing anything. Every single American who works, who owns his own business, who pays into our tax system, well, we win because we get to keep our money. It's not your money. This is the problem This guy doesn't seem to understand. He believes that your money is actually his money, and that every dime you make, he's essentially allowing you to keep it. And anybody who makes in his view is too much money, well, he wants to take more of that so that he can give to people who aren't actually doing anything at all. It's called redistribution of wealth. So what he's really pissed off about, and if you look at the videos, he really looks sad and beaten down and basically stomped on like an elephant just booted him in the ass. He's really upset because now he doesn't get to take money from one group of people so that he can not pay down the deficit, mind you, but he wants to take that money and give it to someone else. You work and you work and you work and you slave and you run your own business and you build your company and you employ people and you live the American dream. Only for this one ideologue, Marxist, socialist moron to come along and say, now, you've made enough money, and I'm going to go ahead and take a good portion of that money that you slaved and worked for all your life and give it to someone who hasn't worked hard all their lives, but through no fault of their own, because they were not born with your tenacity, with your stick-to-itiveness, with your good old-fashioned American know-how. They weren't born with that through no fault of their own. So I got to take what you have and give it to someone whom I believe is more worthy of it. That's what this guy is all about. And a lot of you voted for this idiot. I mean, really. It's really pissing me off. Even though I'm very happy that he looks like he's just been stomped on by a pack of wild dogs when he's given these. Because he's really upset. He's really upset, and it just really, it really makes me feel good. It warms my heart that he's so unhappy right now. So, moving right along. The Reverend Al Sharpton is back in the news again, looking really serious. He wants my main man, Rush Limbaugh, as he calls him. It's Rush Limbaugh. But, you know, he's not very good at actually speaking the English language. He wants Rush Limbaugh off the air because he believes that Rush is racist and inciting hate speech. And, you know, a few of my peers, because quite frankly, I don't really have any. You know, a few of my black brothers and sisters also believe that Rush Limbaugh is racist. And usually when I confront them on this issue, I'll say, hey, well, when was the last time you listened to Rush? Oh, I've never listened to Rush. I would never listen. I never listened to Rush Limbaugh. I would never listen to his show. Okay, so where did you get the fact that Rush is racist? Well, I heard, and he did, and he got these parodies. And okay, so you've never actually listened to a Rush Limbaugh show. Where's Rush from? Where does he? What state does he hail from? I don't know. I just know that he was buying drugs. Okay, all right. So you don't know much about Rush Limbaugh at all, but you know he's a racist. Okay, so these are the types of people that I deal with all the time. Nevertheless, needless to say, I've listened to Rush since 1988 when he was working in Sacramento. He had like only a few stations, And so I know Rush rather well. I've talked to him a few times. I've even met him. And needless to say, I'm a big Rush fan. But there are people out there who, and by the way, I'm black, but there are people out there, especially black folks, who believe that Rush Limbaugh is a racist. So, appearing on MSNBC Monday evening, once again, the Reverend Al Sharpton told host Ed Schultz, apparently he's on Ed Schultz's show all the time, he must have a cot in Ed's office. Well, he appeared on Ed Schultz's show, and said that he was meeting with representatives of the FCC to discuss ways to prohibit Rush Limbaugh's blatant racist tirades. Rush Limbaugh has never, in all the time I've listened to his show, and I listen daily, issued a racist tirade or even said anything racist, in my opinion. Sharpton also brags about his efforts in preventing Limbaugh from taking an ownership stake in the NFL. He goes on to say that Rush has the right to say whatever he wants to say. He can't do it on publicly related airwaves. The FCC has the responsibility to set standards to say the public cannot be offended based on their race or gender in this country. You are federally regulated airwaves. He just completely misspeaks here. He should be prohibited for the lack of being able to speak English properly. That's just how I feel. And that they give licenses to that are very competitive, and the FCC is very selective based on standards. That's like an actual quote. Fragmented speech is a sign of mental instability, Reverend. So, is he protecting people against being offended? I'm offended by you, Al. So maybe you should move along. Any regular listener of El Rushbo knows Limbaugh is no racist. But liberal activists continue to insist on government-regulated guidelines to police talk radio airwaves for so-called offensive, quote, offensive, end quote, language, a.k.a. what anything they disagree with. Will Sharpton and his coalition of misfits and socialists and Marxists be successful? I doubt it. Al Sharpton has all the credibility of a used car salesman. No. A used car salesman has more credibility than Al Sharpton. He's meeting with the FCC. Let's see how that goes. Anyway, Commissioner Clyburn of the FCC says that the use of the internet should be free for every nappy-headed child. And those were her exact words. That it should be free for every nappy-headed child. That it's a God-given right. It's an American right. That black children have free access to the internet. I mean, they're just coming out of the woodwork, folks. They are just coming out. And Al, where would you think this is going to stop? Would it stop with Rush Limbaugh, as you call him? Reverend,
Al?
Joe Lieberman came up to me and said, we got to run to the middle now. I asked, why should I run to the middle? Who said what we're really for? I need equal opportunity. I want a shot at the nomination. Don't want to wind up in Harlem with a cartoon hairdo. Reporters and interlopers dog me daily for some things that I might have done before. Chase Mr. Beerbelly or Hillary. Get these mutts away from me, you know. Nobody cares if they can't shop at Freddy's Fashion Mart no more. If you give me money, I will be your long lost pal. I've been called everything, but people up in Harlem call me Reverend now. Reverend now. Some people at the DNC say that I just want attention, or I give the wrong kind of impression. Or, whoa, my rap sheet is long. Where are my reparations? What if I leave here? Who'll be our role model now that Jesse Jackson is gone? Gone. He ducked back down the alley with that roly-poly little brawly girl. All along, along in my Canada set, there will be hints and allegations. Amen. Hallelujah. If you give me money, I will be your long lost pal. I've been called everything. The people up in Harlem call me Reverend now. Reverend now.
Okay.
Reverend now. Wants to limit free speech to anybody who doesn't agree with him. And the chairman of the FCC wants to have a litmus test for stations using the public airwaves, whom he may not believe has the good, the common good of the American people. So they are just really desperate here right now. Because America is simply not agreeing with the current administration and with liberal points of view. And I cite the failure of the only radio corporation, the radio station that actually called themselves what they were, formerly Air America. Remember them? Crapped out three or four times before they actually just went ahead and died. So, since nobody's listening anymore, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, nobody's listening. CNN, nobody's listening. Nobody's watching. Fox News has more viewers nightly in every demographic than all of those other stations combined nightly. So the liberals are saying, wait a minute, we don't have America anymore. There's 20% liberal out there. The rest are conservative and independents, and we're losing the fight for America. And so now we've got to try to level the playing field, as it were, and give America better choices, because too many Americans are now tuning into conservative Fox News, and we just can't compete. We can't compete honestly, so we're going to rig it somehow, or try to, so that Americans won't be able to listen to Fox or Rush or Glenn or Sean. How sad. How very, very sad. But there is good news, folks. There is good news. Ted Kaczynski's house is for sale, and I want it. At a measly $69,500, I can have it. and I might just get it. The Montana home of Ted Kaczynski, better known as the Unabomber, is being marketed by Pistelic Realty of Lincoln, Nebraska. Oh, yeah. The asking price, as I stated, a measly $69,500. I can find that in the folds of my couch. I can find that underneath a mattress somewhere in this house. The property includes 1.4 acres of remote Montana wilderness. I can go hunting and fishing, wear a big plaid, you know, thing and a bright orange vest so that I can get shot by another hunter. So not only does it include the land, it also includes that shack he lived in. I want that shack too. Oh yeah. In the period between 1978 and 1995, Kaczynski mailed 16 bombs to people and institutions that he targeted because he hated the modern life, technology, and all that. And his bombs killed 3 or 4 people, injured 20-something people. Mr. Kaczynski was also best known for the manifesto he wrote, titled Industrial Society and Its Future, which detailed his views and explained why he set out on a campaign to bring modern society to his knees by blowing people's hands off. He was arrested in 1996 and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole in Florence, Colorado, at the Supermax. Man, that's one serious prison. Do you know that the showers come around to you, to your door, and you just, you know, on rollers, and you step into the shower module thing and take your shower and then step back into your cell, and then the shower door closes and your cell door closes and goes around to the next cell? Wow, that's weird. But yes. And so Ted Kaczynski's pad is up for sale. And of course, there's a tune for that. And I'm going to play it right now, so dig it.
Now, direct from Obama hit.
Hell was I when I first seen Ted Kaczynski? I can't remember when he came around. Well, that young fella just sent a heap of mail. Spent all his time at the post office in town. He had a one-room shack not far from us, and I suppose we should have expected the worst. Because if he knew you had a computer or indoor plumbing, he'd start mumbling something about Earth first. Now, he wasn't much for holidays, but Ted couldn't wait for the 4th of July. The companies, he had to hear them rockets go whoosh and explode up there in the sky. Now, one of these days, you're going to have a trial. And I'll visit Ted up in jail. Might be sending me a card or a letter. But he ain't going to open the mail. He took Ted and his cabin away. The agent said he'd been blowing up folks. Guess he got another placement to stay. Now, some folks say technology made him do it. And others, that it was Al Gore's book. I just remember him a foaming at the mouth and giving them loggers that look. Now, one of these days, you're gonna have a trial. And I'll visit Ted up in jail. He'll be sending me some cards and letters, but I ain't gonna open the mail. I'm keeping it closed with the address I see. The letters from Ted Kaczynski to me.
Oh, yeah. Ted Kaczynski. His place is up for sale. I'm going to get that property, put my bid in. You think I'm kidding, too? Well, I'm going to get that pad. And I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to go stay in it. I'm going to hang out in it. My girl, she is so hot. She's so fine. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. I haven't seen her in a few days, but I know she's gonna love this. She's going to love this because, like me, she is a big, big Gene Simmons fan. And Gene has something to say. Dig it.
Why do you wish you could take back your Obama vote?
Because I voted because the man that was running was a moment in history. I, in the back of my mind, I wanted to show the world that America, the land of slaves, the land that tortured its black population for hundreds of years, is also the place of hope that could give African American a chance to lead the most powerful place on the face of the planet. However, if you take a look at the resume, you couldn't find somebody in retrospect more unqualified. 2 years in public office, never ran his own company. So after the fact, I was questioning the qualification. I don't believe he inherited everything. I believe that part of it is some decisions. I'm not in favor of the huge bill that healthcare has taken up. I believe that everybody should have the same abilities and rather the same chances of succeeding,
yeah,
the opportunities, but the rest is up to us. I want the government to get out of my life. I don't want you to tell me. If my company goes under, I want to go under. I'm totally against all the Chapter 11s and Chapter 7s. You can't fail. You should be able to fail.
You're so passionate about this and so persuasive when you speak, and yet your music...
Did you not know he's running for president?
Well, you know, I was going to ask you that next. But your music seemed, frankly, kind of devoid of politics. Did you ever think of using your music as a vehicle?
Okay. That's my main man. I mean, I'm a big Kiss fan. I have been since high school. My favorite Kiss song, in case anybody cares, is Beth, which ironically wasn't sung by Kiss. Well, it actually was sung by the drummer. And during the session for Beth, there was only one member in that session, and it was the drummer, and the drummer really couldn't sing. That's why he was a drummer. So the rest of the Kiss members were off somewhere else. But it's a Kiss song, and it's Beth. And it took the drummer, whose name escapes me at this very moment, 23 takes. I do remember that, to get that song just right. And even though the other members, all members of Kiss, were not present during the recording of that song, it's still my favorite Kiss song. But back to Gene Simmons' statements, openly regretting voting for unqualified Obama. I think that now there are quite a few people who feel exactly that way, that he is in over his head. You saw today just how beaten down he was, just how angry he was, how he lashed out at both Republicans and Democrats alike. Republicans for putting him in the position of not being able to take away our Jack, and the Democrats for getting on his back because he was unable to take away our bread. Because make no mistake, the money that he wants, that he wanted to take from the top 1% or the top 2%, those are the folks who actually pay taxes. Now, just remember this. There are those of us who have money taken out of our weekly or biweekly paychecks, and it goes to the government. But that's money that the government is basically borrowing from you, that they actually pay back to you at the end of the year with no interest. Those of you who file 1040 or 1040A, you get most, if not all, of that money back. And if you're the least bit creative, sometimes you get a little more. And then there are those of us, and I number myself as one of those, who pays taxes but doesn't really get any money back. You know, if I'm really creative and I write off this and I write off that and I write off that over there, I might break even, maybe. But most of the time, I'm one of those people who actually pay taxes. The guy who's making $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year, if you've got the right deductions and you're honest and you have honest deductions, most of you folks, you're getting your money back at the end of the year. That means you're not paying any taxes. I am. And a lot of people are. So no more of this, Barack Obama's giving me a break. It's my money, jackass. Stop trying to take my bread. I got mouths to feed. Okay? Get off my back. I got folks in college. I got all sorts of stuff going on here. And you can't have any more of my money. All right. So, we've dispensed with that. We talked about Ted Kavinsky's pad being up for sale. I want that property. We talked about Gene Simmons. But we haven't talked about the school assigned book that says that Jesus is a wine-guzzling vagrant and a precocious socialist. Sounds intriguing? Well, the parents of a Bedford teen, they didn't think so. And they're calling for the ouster, firing, boot out the door of school officials who assigned their son a book that refers to Jesus Christ as a wine-guzzling vagrant and precocious socialist. Yes, the assault on Christmas Christianity and Jesus is in full swing. It's the assault on Christmas. It's the assault on our freedom. It's the assault on our values. It's the assault on our way of life. It's an assault on America. And it's been going on for years. But when Barack Hussein Obama took office, these folks came out of the woodwork. Yeah. Barack Obama, beaten down, bloodshot eyes, bags under his eyes, frown on his face. I loved it. I loved every minute. I savored every morsel. I savored it. I savored it. I loved it. He just seemed like he just took an ass whooping of biblical proportions. Well, folks, I'm going to go ahead and sign off because I've had a wonderful day. And I thoroughly enjoyed seeing or watching Mr. Obama take a stomping that he did. There is hope for America. America, the beautiful, the land of the free, the home of the brave. America, we coming back, baby. America is coming back. And you gotta love it. Barack Obama had a road to socialism and Marxism, or a combination of the two, has been hit. The car is in the ditch. And now the tables have turned. We got the keys to the car. Republicans do, again. And this time, we're going to get the car out of the ditch. And we're going to save America from Barack Obama and his 73 czars. Yeah. And it's going to be a candy cane Christmas. Just as sweet as it can be. So I will leave you tonight, and we'll talk again tomorrow, and I can't wait. I wish you all a wonderful and happy good night, and an even better day tomorrow. And JKC, I love you. I hope you're listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow as well, if not later this evening. All right, so much for the Carol Burnett ear-tugging moment. Good night, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Tiny little boots covered in snow. Apple cider warming on the stove. Tinsel twinkling everywhere. Holly hanging on the stairs. It must be Christmas Eve. Angel sitting high upon a tree. Watching over presents patiently. Milk and cookies on a plate. Santa Claus is on his way. The kids should be fast asleep. But sleigh bells are ringing in their heads. Twisting like little tops in their beds. Trying to sleep, but it's no use. With hoofs tap, tapping on the roof. Peeking out the window to see what they can see. It's a candy cane Christmas, sweet as it can be. Like little tops in their bed, trying to sleep, but it's no use, with hoofs tap, tapping on the roof, peeking out the
what they can see. It's a candy cane Christmas, sweet as it can be. It's a candy cane Christmas, sweet as it can be.
All right. Just one more thing before I go. Today would have been my mother's 68th birthday. And Mom, I know that you're watching over me and that you're guiding me and that I hope that I'm making you proud on this December 7th. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention all those great warriors we lost on December 7th, 1941, on Pearl Harbor. And so I'd like to mention them and all those that are gone. You're not forgotten. And those that are still here, those few that are still here, I owe you a debt of gratitude, and I'm just so proud. All right. Good night, everyone.